You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, no announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. Colossians 2, verses 1 through 8. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And Father God, we just pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The November the 11th is Veterans Day. Just bring that to your attention, something we need to remember, particularly in light of what happened this past, was it Friday at Fort Hood? They start kind of running together, but it was Friday at Fort Hood when that, Thursday, because Friday was, I guess, the Florida deal, but Thursday, very sad. We need to keep those families in our prayers, and we need to keep that incident in our thoughts as time goes by. There's a real battle going on in this country today. There's a battle for truth. And it seems like Christianity is taking a real beating, but I don't think it is. I don't think God's losing this battle one bit. And that may be because we think that God is losing because there are so many adversaries. And I'm not talking just about the devil. He's behind it. Satan has his minions out there working, but there are so many adversaries in America today that are against God. And it proves that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Absolutely ridiculous. But we need to pray for those families that have lost loved ones. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us. We thank you for the grace that we've experienced and enjoyed through Christ, your Son, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for the confidence we have in knowing in whom we believe. So many things we don't know, so many things we don't understand. We question, we do, it's in our nature. But you're still constant, you're absolute, you're still solid. You promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. We praise you for that. We thank you for the joy that wells up in our hearts as we have wonderful thoughts of you and how marvelous it is. Even in times of sadness, even in times of grief, and those times are to be a part of our life. They're to be a part of the human nature, our existence in this fallen world, and we need to remember it's because of sin. We need to be mindful, Lord, of your goodness day in and day out. We pray now for this time that we've set aside in our life, knowing that you've set it aside for us to be here, to hear the Word as we study it. May it have its impact. May we be yielded to the Spirit as the Spirit takes the things of Christ, makes them real to us, and that we can appropriate and apply them in our life, that we might be bold like the Apostle Paul in our speech. So give us favor in that area. Give us grace. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Well, I was speaking this last week to a friend of mine, and I was trying to explain to him the mysteries that we're looking at. We're looking at the mysteries in the prison epistles, of which there are 12, and we've followed 6 so far in Ephesians. We're going to look at a couple of more. There's 4 in Colossians. We're going to look at maybe all 4. I don't know. We'll see how far we get. Sometimes we don't get that far. But I was talking to my friend, and I said, you know, it's really kind of bothering me that this is so critical to the believer today, to understand that God had a plan. God had a purpose beyond Abraham. God had a purpose beyond the fact that Abraham had been given promises. God had something hidden in him that he never revealed until after Israel rejected him and Israel failed. And it weighs heavy on me that I don't feel adequate enough to communicate that. I really am struggling with it because sometimes what I know, I don't get expressed in the thoughts that I share up here on Sundays. And I don't know if everybody else is catching what I feel or what I experience. You know how I'm talking. You've been out there. You know, you've seen a monkey do something really dumb. I'm not saying I'm a monkey. I should have said a sunrise or a sunset. You've seen that and you've had this impression and you go, what? What? You go, wow. Or if it's a monkey, you go, and someone else goes, what? And you go, well, did you see what that monkey just did? And see it, and then try to explain that. And they just kind of go, oh, yeah. And then you go, well, you should have been there. And they were, but they just missed it. And as I explained this to my friend, he said, it's hard to get our arms around God. I mean, we're talking about the fullness of God manifested to us. Now, did Peter, did James and John, and did the other apostles, did the disciples, did Paul during the Acts period, did they have this concept of God that we have today? No. No, because the riches of the glory of Christ that is revealed through Paul to us was not known then. They didn't have this idea that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They didn't know that all the fullness is in him. They didn't have the idea that Paul relates to us about being joint partakers of a joint body. They didn't have the idea that we're the fullness of him and that we are the body of Christ who filleth all in all. That's just incredible stuff. And that's the mysteries that we read about in Ephesians. And we bled over to Colossians and we looked at some of that. We saw some of the underlying characteristics, some of the things that are important. You know, like Paul's a special minister. Paul's a really unique minister to us. Doesn't mean that James and Peter and the things that God wants to relate to us from their writings and Mark and Luke are not important, or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Job. Those things are important. All Scripture, it says. You see it back there. All Scripture is for us. But it's to equip us. We're so poorly equipped, aren't we? I remember back in law school, I was with my uncle, and he was pretty much an atheist. And I mean, he just took a little penknife out and carved me up. Oh, you Christians. I mean, aren't you aware of the Crusades? Think about all the people they killed and slaughtered. I had no idea how to counter that. But I boldly declared my Christianity to him, and then he beat me up, kicked me around. But I wasn't equipped. You know, I wasn't thoroughly furnished. That's okay. I mean, you know, that's just one of those learning experiences, and God's going to use it, and he's going to take care of that. It's not up to me to convince him. It's not up to me to convince you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He takes the things of Christ. He makes them real. He prompts you. He encourages you. He witnesses to your spirit, your new nature, your creation. It's not my job. And that's kind of what I've got to put aside. I can't do it. I can't make you see the beauty of a sunset or a sunrise. I can't make you see the humor behind a particular way a monkey acts. Everybody's going to look at it different, aren't they? I mean, do you remember that song we just sang, I Know in Whom I Believe? Do you know all of those verses started out with, I don't know? I don't know. There's a lot of things you don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. And even some of the things I do know and you know, I don't know how, why. I'm not even sure I know when. You know, they talk about billions and billions of years. I don't know. I'm having a hard time just figuring out 60. That's what the birthday coming up, the big 6-0. Yeah, and boy, it just flies. It's so fast. It happens before you know it. Your kids grow up. They leave home. Your grandkids come along. Your grandkids grow up. It's just amazing. what God is doing and how this whole process is part of His plan. But it is still a joy to me, and it is fun to get up here, and it is a delight to spend time in the Word and then come up and show you my delight, my excitement about it, and the joy that I have. So let's spend some time and let's look at it. Let's quit talking about this other stuff. Colossae is a little town about 100 miles east of Ephesus, and it probably is not a town Paul visited in any of his journeys, but here he's writing a letter to these Colossians. And what we're going to focus on is there in chapter 2, verse 2, the mystery of God. The mystery of God. I mean, there is a mystery of God. Does your mind ever wonder? You know, you just... mankind tries so often to explain God in his own terms. In other words, let me compare God to myself, mankind, and let me explain God. Man doesn't have a clue. You stop and think about it. Man doesn't have a clue about God. His vastness, I mean, and we can go through the characteristics of God. We can talk about all his, you know, omniscience and omnipresence and what's the other one? Omnipotence. What's another one? His love, immutableness. Are we even scratching the surface on what we know? But our heart just kind of rings with something, doesn't it? And we just go, God's there. Hey, you got these idiots out. You've got these folks out there that are trying to go a step farther and say, you know, God is just within you. You know, like Oprah, you know, and her. Remember the video we saw with her guru, Tolle? Yeah, and they come at us and they go, well, you know, there are no absolutes. No. You can't do that. You can't force that on me. You can't say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. That's an absolute. There are no absolutes. But I'm learning. I'm learning. You know, they don't tie me up now and cut me, you know, beat me up and everything. You know, there are no absolutes, I say. And they go, yeah, there are no absolutes. So then what you're saying is not an absolute. Or are you trying to tell me there are no absolutes? Absolutely. And now I'm trying to tie them up. And then I hopefully laugh and don't make it personal to the point where but I have that way. You know, I can look at a guy a certain way and I don't know why, but it'll tick him off. And I know he's getting ready to clench his fist. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just kind of like, okay, I'm not just going to say that. I'm going to rub it in his nose. Yeah, that's not the right way. You know, just laugh and go, hey, look, let's get serious about it. You don't know. And I don't know. I don't know apart from this word. I don't. You don't either. Oh, we can look at creation and we can go, wow, where did that come from? You know, this is amazing. You know, we got this Hubble telescope out there and, you know, we've got these little pictures and we've got this vast universe out there that we're just a little, we're not even on the scale. Let's get serious about it. Where did it come from? How did it happen? Nothing from nothing doesn't make sense. That's a disconnect. So, you know, that's what I hope to talk to him about. I mean, you know, think about it. You know, Paul, when he went to Athens on Mars Hill, you know, he tried to talk to it. You know, you see all these religious things, you know, and you guys are religious in your nature. It's your makeup. But let me talk to you about this unknown God that you're trying to find and you're searching and you're seeking for and you're trying to explain. The heart wants to. You want to. I want to. Usually what we do, though, is before we came to Christ, usually what we do is we go to pleasure, whatever makes us feel good. There'll be a time in the end times, Paul writes about in the latter days, that there'll be lovers of pleasure. Pleasure is a great, you know, it answers. It could be academic pleasure. You could, you know, these guys that are really smart, they love that mental jousting that goes on in academia. But it's anything that is an answer to the pain and the ache and the hurt, the disappointment and the despair of life, isn't it? You know, that's when That's when we all of a sudden we start getting serious. You know, things are fine. You know, I'm happy. I'm having a good time. But came home from Six Flags. Probably about 25 years ago, 30 years ago. Came home and we were still on Sunrise. Air conditioner was broke. Got in that house, it was 115. Remember how hot it was? It was terrible. And, wow, we had to buy a new air conditioner. And it was August. It was terrible in the house, and it was terrible in my bank account because we had three kids at home. We were broke, actually. Law school. I was going to law school. Law school tuition was due in 2 weeks. House payment. Oh, house payment. It's due. Okay. Got to get the air conditioner fixed. I think we had like $113 in the bank. We had more than that, but we spent it down at Six Flags. And it was fine. Boy, we were having a great time until we walked in that house and went, what? I mean, we broke out in a sweat just walking in the house, coming in from 105 degree heat. And see, that's when it really gets tough, the disappointments in life, the despair. It could be cancer. It could be a spouse that leaves you. It could be loss of a loved one. And then we start getting serious. And those who don't know God, those who don't know Christ, those who have never seen the love manifested in the Son, the love of God, and those who've never enjoyed the heart uplifting thought that God gave His Son for me to die for my sins, so that whatever goes on here is just a, not even a drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the ocean. It's nothing. God's got it set for eternity. The love that He wants to share with me. I don't know what it is. You know, our good, loving Baptist brothers and sisters tell us that we're just going to get up there and with the rest of them sing and sing and sing. I'd be happy with that. I like singing. Off key, too. No, I won't be. You're right. I bet he's right. Won't be off key, man. What? But we're dealing with now. Now, right here. This is what's important. There is a mystery of God. How did He create the speed of light? What is that all about? You know, 186,000 miles per second. 2 seconds to get to the moon. Boom. We're not very far, are we? I mean, you know, how long would it take to get going the speed of light to the next star? You know, we got the sun and our solar system, but the next star take 4.5 light years. Think about that. 186,000 miles per second. We're talking about 4.5 years. That's a long way. And we're not even close to getting out of the Milky Way. That's just one galaxy. There's an amazing mystery of God. But that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the mystery of God, even Christ. He's talking about Christ, what Christ has done for you and for me. No hope in Abraham, no promise of a kingdom here on earth, but what Christ has done for us in the heavenlies, where He's raised us and seated us. This is something special and unique. See, if you're there, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul says, I've been made a minister. Chapter 1, I've been made a minister according to the dispensation of God. This is a whole new program, a whole new house law, koinonia, this dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. That's that to you. You remember, and I've harped on this, I've talked about it. To you are the two yous. The two yous. The first is it was unforeseen, and the second is it was unique. It was unforeseen, and that's what he tells us. He says it was, verse 26, the mystery, which was hidden from ages, that's from time, and from generations, that's from people. You'll never find it. Why? Because it was hidden in God. That's what we learned back in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Oh, it's right up here in case you haven't seen it. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God. It wasn't hidden in Scripture. See, this is not anything that Peter and John knew about. This is nothing that Paul knew about until after the Acts period came to a close. And then God began by special revelation. See, we can have natural revelation, and that's wonderful. We can see the glory of God in the heavens, and they speak of Him. They utter day in and day out the glory of God. So that that no one is without excuse. Or is that everyone is without excuse? Okay, yeah. Either way. God said, I've declared myself to you. You know I exist. Only the fool thinks I don't. God has declared Himself. But Paul has completed the Word. There's not any more to be added to it. That's special revelation, not natural revelation. This is special revelation. This is what God has told us about Himself. And it's complete. That's what He says at the end of verse 25. I didn't read that. To fulfill or complete the Word of God. Now, if you want to know what that means, it doesn't mean fulfill like it comes to pass. It means fill to the full. That's that word pleroma. It's filled to the full. You want to see a picture of it over in chapter 2, verse 10? You're complete in Him. Same thing. It's complete. Same word. Complete. You're complete in Him. That's so good. I mean, I forget that sometimes, don't you? I forget that. I'm done. I'm finished. A lot of people like to say, I'm not finished. There's still a lot of work needs to be done on you. Well, you too. But God said, I'm complete in Him. God doesn't look at me. He doesn't look at you. You don't have to do anything else to make Him happy. Christ did it all. Jesus died for your sins. That's the wonderful baseline. God loves you. He loves you so much He gave His only begotten Son. We should never lose sight of that. We need to be bold in our witness to that. But to those that know Christ, we've got to be bold about this other witness that God's given us. We really need to. Okay, in verse 26, He says, the mystery which was hidden from ages and generation, but now is made manifest to His saints. It's now made manifest to His saints. Now, we covered all this in Ephesians when we looked at the first six mysteries. Now, they weren't six of them. And I hope you've studied enough you know that, because some of them were duplicated. We had the mystery of His will, which is in the dispensation of fullness of time. He was gathering all things in Christ, which was just marvelous. Then we had the mystery. Then we had the mystery of Christ. Those were the first three. And then we had the mystery again, which was, this was number four. Fourth time the word mystery was used. That's what we're looking at. The number of times mystery is used. And then we had the mystery of the church, which is the body of Christ, not the bride. But we had it was called a great mystery. Remember, chapter 5 of Ephesians. And then we had this mystery of Christ that we need to be bold to speak in the sixth chapter. And those were our first six. And then we just saw the number 7, if you want to call it that, or the first of four in Colossians. We just saw that in verse 26. The mystery which was hidden from ages, now made manifest to the saints. See, that's got to be what we focus on. We don't need to keep going back reminding them that they're saved in Christ, that Christ died for his sins. And what we need to start focusing them on is the completeness that we have in Him. Why God did that and who He is. Why He's the mystery of God. We'll see that in just a minute. Stay with me, though. In verse 27, now there's just a couple of things we can pick up here, and I want you to pick them up. We're going to look at them that deal with the mystery. He says in verse 27, now it's to these saints God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So God says, I've got several mysteries, but this mystery, this one that is the dispensation of God for this time, this mystery, which is among the Gentiles. See, the Gentiles didn't have that lucky position. They were the tail and not the head. It was to the Jew first until this time. And then to the Gentile. We were without hope in the world. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers to the covenants. We were strangers to the promises. We had nothing to cling to or to hang on to if something happened to Israel. Those were the only promises God gave. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. But God didn't get caught off guard when Israel rejected him. He knew all about it because of one of those wonderful characteristics of his. His omniscience. He knows it all. And so he had this plan that he had hidden in himself, ready to unfold. And he picked this fella Paul, little seed picker. And he made him special to us. This mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, a lot of people say, oh, Christ in you. That's great. That's speaking about the indwelling Christ. And that's wrong. It's not wrong that there's an indwelling Christ, but that's not part of this mystery. Christ in you. This is the word, it's the word among. Christ among you. He says, here we have this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this mystery among the Gentiles? Well, it's the fact that Christ now is among you. You're not the W of the TWA. You remember there used to be an airline company called Trans World Airlines, and we've kind of appropriated the TWA in the study of right division to help us understand that at first it was through the Jew, you had to become a proselyte, and then it was with the Jew, and we've studied that many times from this pulpit, and then it's apart from the Jew. And that's what he's talking about. It's not just this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? It's Christ among you now. You're not the tail. You're not the head. You're members of the body. It's a wonderful thought. It's a glorious thought because God did some special things for you when He quickened you in Christ and raised you in Christ and seated you in Christ, all in the heavenly places. There's not one calling. There's not one called out group of believers prior to this that had that blessing or has that hope. Now see, let me show you a couple of verses because I want you to firm this up. It's not Christ in you. And you can be prepared. You can be equipped. Go to John chapter 5. I'm sorry, John chapter 6. And we'll start with verse 52. In John chapter 6, verse 52, you know, this is that great passage where Jesus declares that He's been sent from heaven and He's the true bread. Verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. There's the dwelling. Is that something that's hidden? That thought of Christ in you being the mystery which was unique and unforeseen? No. I mean, there he talks about it right there in the Gospels. In fact, actually, we could go back to Ezekiel, and we could go back to Job, and we could look at some other Old Testament passages. But I want to stay here. Go to John chapter 14. There's nothing unforeseen about that. John chapter 14, look at verse 17. Speaking of the Spirit of truth, speaking of the Comforter, he says, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he what? He dwells with you and shall be in you. What's amazing? Look over at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. This is not something that was hidden in God from generations and ages. I mean, Christ has made it very clear and very... Look in Romans. Let's go over there. Very obvious. I didn't finish that sentence. God has made it very clear. Christ made it very clear. And it's very obvious. In Romans chapter 8. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God, what? Dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So once again, we see of this indwelling, this idea that Christ is in you. It can't be part of the mystery, can it? If the mystery is something that was hidden in God, never revealed before. Look at Galatians. Let's go over there. This is a verse that we're all familiar with. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You know, I'm crucified with Christ. Verse, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ what? Lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So, come back to our passage in Colossians. This idea that the hope of glory is Christ in you and that this mystery is Christ in you, the indwelling Christ, can't be a part of this mystery which was manifested to whom God wants to make known the riches of the glory. I mean, it was already known in Scripture. That's the one thing I want. In fact, let me show you this word where it says there in verse 27, which is Christ in you. Let me show you. Go back to John. Hold your hand there because we're going to come back to Colossians. But go over to John chapter 1. I'll show you. Now, this is my teaching tool when I'm in a Bible study and I'm working with guys. This is where I take them, and we look at this, and I say, this is how it's supposed to be understood. In John chapter 1, verse 26, it's the same phrase. John answered them, saying, I baptized with water, but there standeth one in you. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. There standeth one among you, whom you know not. Same phrase. Here they translated it. Among you, come back to Colossians. If you translate that Christ among you, you begin to see this. And see, that follows with the uniqueness of this. It holds true to the fact that it was unforeseen. There's the Gentiles whom this has been given, that's what it says in the passage, never had that blessing or that hope. So that those are the first two times the mystery is used in Colossians. But we're looking at the mystery, even Christ, down in chapter 2. These poor folks at Colossae, I don't know what their problem was. Many say Gnosticism was coming, and there's something to that. I mean, I can see that in the passages because God, through Paul, wants them to see, like in chapter 1, verse 19, it pleased the Father that in Christ should all the fullness dwell. See, there was a problem with that fullness and who he was. Yeah, we have that today. We got friends. We probably got some family members that tell us things like that. He was just a good man. You know, he was a prophet, even, they might say. But, or they may even say, well, he was a spiritual being that was part of this vast continuum that's going throughout. It gets funny, doesn't it, when they start speaking and they don't have a clue what they're talking about. And honestly, you and I don't have a clue what we're talking about until we come back to this word. Because that begins to explain God. That's what this great mystery is. That's what he's talking about. And these folks at Colossae, they were having problems. They really were. They had problems with being deceived. You know, that's what he's talking about in chapter 2, verse 8. Don't beware. There's a warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. So there's a problem. Vain deceit. There's another problem. Tradition of men. And the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. I mean, once we see what we never saw before, what was that? These riches of God. Once we see that they're in Christ, once we see all these treasures of wisdom and knowledge, these hidden treasures that are in Him, that were never before revealed, that are particular, or how about this, particularly important to us. They are particular to us too. That's where I was going. But they're particularly important because they set us apart. They give us a unique relationship with Him. They give us a relationship unforeseen and no one has ever known about. That is the mystery of God. That is the mystery of God. That in Christ, all of this is completed. Don't let anyone spoil you. Don't be caught up in rituals. Don't be caught up in rites. Don't be caught up in ceremonial things. Don't think that there's anything in the flesh that's going to please God. Don't think for a minute that you're lacking in anything. You're there. I mean, you go there sometimes. I go there sometimes. Can you imagine what it'd be like for some of these really deep and powerful Bible scholars and expositors when all of a sudden they go there? I bet they're really shook because, you know, they are the communicators of this. But no, they're just like you. I mean, I'm just thinking Billy Graham. I just can't imagine if he goes there and he just for 1 second, he begins to think, I've got to do something else to make God happy. Well, if I do that, you know, that'll please God. Maybe if I do this, God will do that. You know, in kind of that tit for tat. That's got to shake them down to the foundation because they've got to go back to grace by faith and that alone. So, and you see this, and if you're still there in chapter 2, verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. And we, you know, I think of that guy sitting on the corner, you know, with his head raised up and his arms out and look at me, you know, I fast twice a day and I do all these wonderful things for you. He didn't go home justified. But that poor man who hung his head, beat on his chest and said, God have mercy. God has had mercy. He's had mercy in your life. You don't get what you deserve. I don't. I'm not worried about that one iota. Christ paid that. I don't have to worry about that. Period. I'm turning 60. And, you know, things are a lot closer to the end than they were to the beginning. You know. And here's where I love tradition comes in and says, unless Christ returns. He could return tomorrow, and now I'm back into a theological argument. Now I'm going, no, you can't go there. Don't do that. You know, there's Elijah. And they go, huh? Okay, I've got off on a rabbit trail there. I don't know if when things begin to really slow down in life, if I'll get whacked out, you know, Alzheimer's. I won't even know you. Or if I'll get weird and say things that don't connect about God and church and things like that. I don't know. I've never met anybody that did. I mean, you know, most God's people, I think, are at peace when they die. And I think that's where I'm going to be because there's not a doubt in my mind that Christ didn't die for my sins. I don't have to pay that penalty. That's all been covered. Now, what a wonderful thought. How glorious can that be? Don't let any man, it says there in verse 18 where I was, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels and treating those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Keep this thought. You are complete in him, filled to the full. It's a finished product. God's really not even looking at you. He's looking at Christ. Remember that story I said the other day, a couple of weeks back? A little girl and teacher says, is there anything? Yeah. She had professed her faith in elementary school, and the teacher said, well, little Jenny, is there anything God can't do? Yeah, that's that old thing in philosophy class, you know, when you get there and they say, well, if God can do anything, can he make a rock so big that he can't pick it up? How to answer that? Oh, what am I going to do? I don't know what to say. You can say, I don't know. Does it matter? Or you can say, who cares? There's going to be a day when all of us face judgment. And that will matter. All the little cutesy stuff that goes on down here has nothing to do with that day. It's this, is it Dickimus or Odd-Dickimus? Of course, now I got them because they're going, what's this Dickimus stuff? What's Odd-Dickimus? What are you talking about? Oh, never mind. You're not interested anyway. You'd rather be interested if God can make a rock big enough that he can't even pick it up. Sherry and I have got a pumpkin that's so big we couldn't pick it up. You ought to see it. This thing's huge. Chris saw it. It is big, isn't it?
It's huge.
Now, who cares, you know? In a month, it'll be gone because it'll get old and worn out and we'll throw it away and it's done and that's faded and there's nothing to it. But what does last? I know in whom I believe. Okay, now I haven't even really scratched the surface. Chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, I have this conflict for them because I want their hearts to be comforted. I want them to be knitted together in love and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding. The riches of the full assurance of understanding. I don't want there to be a doubt in anyone's mind. I want not only that the answer is satisfactory and complete, but I want it to be filled and full and flowing over so that there's, you know, if it gets cold, we can ice skate on it. You know, it's just wonderful. This whole thing just covers every instance and situation and circumstance you find yourself in. Their hearts might be comforted being knit together in love and into all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, even to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Now, the next part of that's not in there. And of the Father, and of Christ. Now, and of Christ is, but and of the Father is not. It is in the book, but you can check that out. We're not going to argue about it. You know, it doesn't make any difference anyway, because it does include Christ. But it says the mystery of God is even Christ. Christ is the mystery of God. And once you begin to see the fullness of the riches, the unsearchable and untrackable riches of Christ, those things over there in verse 8, the philosophy and the vain deceit and traditions of men, who's going to beguile you with that? I mean, that stuff pales. I mean, it doesn't even have a shimmer. It's not even there. Except to laugh at. You got to be kidding me.
Billions and billions of years ago.
You know, people think. And we can't even fathom the fact that we've got the Milky Way galaxy that we're in, and there's 300 or 400, I don't know, billion stars in it. Yeah. They used to think it was a million, but now they've got these better telescopes. I think as telescopes go along and get better and better, they're going to find out there's a lot more than that. But then they've looked and they've got this little, you know, and they've got a picture of the outside the Milky Way, and they're saying, you know, there's 10 billion with the big galaxies just in that little picture. Galaxies, not solar systems. Galaxies in just that one picture. It's amazing just to look at the glory of God up in the heavens. But this is the revelation of Him. This book, the Bible, speaks of Him, tells us, reveals Him, and describes Him, and gives us some understanding of Him and what His plan and purpose and program is and how much He loves us. And that's why He sent His Son, to declare these things. This is the mystery of God, Christ. It's all encompassing. I'm not saying the things that were prior to the prison epistles that deal with Christ don't pertain to Christ. They're still part of Christ too. But we never saw things like He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the Abrahamic teachings or in the teachings of Isaiah. We've got some incredible stuff here that God chose to reveal to His body. And how that body responds is really kind of important because it's on a showcase, we learned in Ephesians, the next verse after this in verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, God's manifesting His manifold wisdom. Cool. What can that be like? I don't know. I don't have a, you know. I'm sure they're up there going, what's this all about? They're not used to it. You know, what are principalities and powers anyway? And dominions and thrones and all that other stuff. Well, God's just kind of told us about it. He hadn't really explained it to us. It's just that, you know, group of created beings. They were here when the foundations were set because they sang. That's what Job teaches us. Okay, I have some thoughts about that too. But the mystery of God Christ. And once we grasp that, once we begin to understand, in verse 3 it says, in whom are all the hidden treasures? Now, it says in whom are hidden. They're not hidden. He's not hiding anything. It's in whom are hidden, or all the hidden treasures. Once you begin to understand Him, all those hidden treasures begin to start coming out. They begin to unfold and you begin to see the amazingness about it. I mean, I really can't. I'll just show you one thing and we'll quit. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I lost my little ribbon there. Did you see it fly out? Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to quit here because I want to pick this up next time. I want us to look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That's not godliness, you know, like me being godly or you being godly. No. Great is the mystery of godliness. Where is that demonstrated? It's sure demonstrated in me. No, it's not demonstrated in any human being. It's in Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. Look at it. God was what? Manifest in the flesh. Not only that, He was justified in the Spirit. Not only that, but He was seen of angels. And then He was preached unto the nations and believed on in the world and received up into glory. There is something here that is really powerful. Something. This is the last time in the prison epistles that we see the word mystery, but there it is, and we'll spend some time looking at it next time. Let's pray. Father, we praise You and thank You for the glorious plan that You had hidden in Yourself. The revealed plan is marvelous. We love reading it, and we love studying it. We love learning about it. We love seeing how kind and generous and beneficent You are, how good You've been day in and day out. Now, Father, there's something that's even better, and that is what You have called us to, what You have done for us, the body of Christ. I pray that each heart, that their need be met in Christ as they seek Him, as they study the Word, as they begin to prove Him in their life. I pray also, Father, that not only that each heart need might be met, but that there might be a acknowledgement of the fullness of the riches of the glory of Christ. This I pray in His name. Amen.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.